Welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church, and we'd like to start our service with a word of prayer.
Good morning. Oh, wow. Now you can hear me. Did that wake you up? Woke me up. It's great to have so many people here on this wonderful day. Isn't this a beautiful, beautiful day that the Lord made? Let's bow our heads and give him thanks this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this congregation. We love you so much, and we know you do so much for us. We have had a rash of police shootings where our policemen are being shot, and we pray that you would be with their families and give them your peace and your comfort. These things in our country that go on that sometimes we don't understand, so all we can do is put it into your hands and know that you will guide us in the correct way. Be with us this morning. Be with Bruce as he brings us the message. Be with those who are bringing special music. And be with Tom as he plays our prelude next. We give you thanks and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Very, very nice. This morning, to begin with, I would like to share with you an obituary that I doubt that any of you saw because it appeared in the London Times. Today, we mourn the passing of a beloved old friend, his name, Common Sense. He has been with us for many years, and no one knows for sure how old he is since his birth records were long ago lost in bureaucratic red tape. But he will be remembered as having cultivated such valuable lessons as knowing when to come in out of the rain, why the early bird gets the worm, life isn't always fair, and maybe it was my fault. Common Sense lived by simple, sound financial policies. Don't spend more than you earn, and reliable strategies like adults, not children, are in charge. His health began to deteriorate rapidly when well-intentioned but overbearing regulations were put into place. reports of a six-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate, teens suspended from school for using mouthwash after lunch, and a teacher tired for reprimanding an unruly student only worsened his condition. Common sense lost ground when parents attacked teachers for doing the job that the parents themselves had failed to do in disciplining their children. It declined even further when schools were required to get parental consent to administer sun lotion or an aspirin to a student, but they could not inform parents when a student became pregnant and wanted an abortion. Common sense lost the will to live as the churches became businesses and criminals received better treatment than their victims. Common sense took a beating when you couldn't defend yourself from a burglar in your own home and the burglar could sue you for assault. Common sense finally gave up the will to live after a woman failed to realize that a steaming cup of coffee was hot. She spilled a little in her lap and was promptly given a huge settlement. Common sense was preceded in death by his parents, truth and trust, and by his wife, discretion, by his daughter, responsibility, and by his son, reason. He is survived by his five stepbrothers. I know my rights. I want it now. Somebody else is to blame. I'm a victim. Pay me for doing nothing. Not many attended the funeral because so few realized that he was gone. Let's stand and start our service with our first hymn this morning.
All worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might and sing of His grace. His robe is the light whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath the deep thunderclouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. With children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender hold to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. All hail to the King in splendor.
Thank you. You may be seated. We'll be singing another hymn now. We're trying to get used to this sound system. It's so much bigger and fuller that we kind of don't know what we're doing here yet, but I think we'll like it. All right. Let's stand now as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not, as Thou hast been. Thy faithfulness, go. ranges thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you with great humility and meekness in search of your will, so that we may walk and abide in it. We come before your throne in this time of need, and with great boldness and confidence, we request your help. There are so many things going on which make no sense and are beyond our ability to handle. We therefore come to you and ask for your wisdom, guidance, and understanding. Father, we are surrounded on every side by people and situations which are troubling, distressing, frightening, and aggravating. We ask you for patience to endure hardships, for faith to carry us through the darkest night, for peace in the midst of the storms, and for the ability to never doubt you. We stand in your presence with hands extended, with our hearts open to receive your words, which will enable us to withstand and to endure. Father, you are in heaven, and holy is your name. You alone are worthy of our praise and our devotion. You alone are worthy of our heart's full attention, and you alone are worthy of our love. You have made us who we are and have given us all we have. You have blessed us in realms far above our mind's ability to comprehend. You alone are our God, and you alone are the one we adore and desire to fully give our hearts to. Look upon us with favor, dear God, and see past our mistakes, past our stubbornness and our weaknesses. Father, we ask for your forgiveness for all the times we have strayed from your will. We ask you to look upon our hearts and purify us with your holiness. We ask you to tenderly lift us up, heal our wounds, and gently reassure us that no matter what, we will always be your children. Please help us to be the children in whom you are pleased. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for us, given to us, and entrusted us with. Thank you for being patient with us and for helping us rise up to try to become the men and women you desire us to be, and to be the army of faithful warriors you need us to be in this dark world. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for all you have done. And to you, we give our hearts and all the love within them. Thank you, and we love you. Amen.
We have a very interesting story today. Down. There, okay. A lot of you have heard it or seen it, but this is the actual word, not just somebody's interpretation. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, "Samson has come here," they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it's daylight, we'll kill him." And Samson lay low until midnight, and then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gates of the city and the two gate posts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill face that faces Hebron. Afterwards, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, "Entice him. Find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the lords of the Philistines bought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was still not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, "Till now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom." So she wove it tightly with batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she went and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. And then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I'll go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes,
and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered him into our hands, Samson, the enemy, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson perform. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may be one with one blow, take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and one on his left. And then he said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel for 20 years.
We probably don't need a sermon now because we know the whole story, right? We got the whole story. But let's give back a little with our tithes and offerings. Stand and let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Be seated.
We thank you, O Lord, for the gifts that we are to give to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I want to tremble. When I think about the part where the carpenter cleared the temple. For the buyers and the sellers were no different fellers than what I should be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the man that I should be. Put your hands in the hands of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hands in the hands of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. I put your hands in the hands of the man from Galilee.
taught me how to look before I reached the age of 7. She said, down on your knees is the time that you're closest to heaven. Daddy lived his life with 2 kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he taught me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Your hand,
join us.
Okay. Hand who stilled the waters. Put your foot, foot.
Thank you very much. Our next performance will be at 12. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed it.
And now, from the EBC Network and its affiliates worldwide, the conclusion of our mini-series on the life of Samson, the 15th judge of Israel.
A long time ago in the late 60s, I can remember that motorcycle group called Hell's Angels from Southern California. Now, there's nothing wrong with riding bikes. I mean, Betty and I had a Honda Goldwing, and then we had a BMW road bike, and we rode all the way from Denver to Vancouver, British Columbia, going up through the Columbia ice fields and 4,500 miles in 3 weeks. We put about 50,000 miles on those bikes and never had an accident, except I turned it over once by getting off the motorcycle. But the main thing that we didn't like was the wind, especially in Wyoming. And Betty could tell you stories about that. The members of that first motorcycle group called Hell's Angels or something else. They were burly, muscular, mean-looking, and full of tattoos and straggly beards full of their lunch and foul language. In fact, they reminded us of that character this morning, Samson, don't we? He was rowdy and crude and coarse and on occasions downright obscene. Now, some people like some smooth wood, polished and well sanded and groomed. Other people are like rough pine bark. When you come in touch with them, you can get hurt. The question is, does God just use people who are fine-tuned and smooth and polished? No, God uses those who are rough and prickly and tough. God uses both kinds of people. So it is with the personality of Samson. He was made out of rough wood. You got close to Samson, you could get hurt, and that happened many times. Well, over the past few years, we're coming up on 10 now, in 2010, we looked at the life of Abraham. We looked at many biblical characters over these last years, and 2010 we spent 20 weeks looking at the life of Abraham. Abraham was the father of many nations, and so why is it that there are so many people have become biased against the people of the Muslim religion? And I ask the question, why can't people get along? Because we all go back to Abraham, can't we? If he's the spiritual father of the Christian faith and of the Muslims, why can't we get along? Why is it that the children of Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad often hate each other and fight each other? They were all spiritual cousins, but it comes back to a main factor. Muhammad was a man of war. Jesus was a man of love and peace. However, admittedly, Christians throughout the centuries haven't been always perfect either, the Crusades and the KKK, to mention 2 examples. Well, this story of Samson and Delilah are well known to most of us. The story of Samson is not history, it's like a folk story. One of the classic folk stories down through the centuries, and thank you, Marianne, for a good reading of that this morning. As I said, why have a sermon? Well, it's a classic. We take pleasure in reading these stories about Samson. He started off great, if we remember going back and recapping the last 3 weeks. His mother couldn't get pregnant, but she was visited by an angel and predicted the birth of Samson. And it was God's sign of a great interception of pregnancy. For example, with John the Baptist, the birth of Samuel, and of course, the birth of Jesus. It was so important. The second story, good story about Samson, that God made him a Nazarite. That's a special person, like an elder in the church, like a deacon, like a monk. He was dedicated to purity before God. And also the third story, that Samson had God's spirit inside of him, even though he pushed it away many times. The spirit of God had come upon Moses and Joshua and Deborah and Gideon, and now upon Samson. God uses these people in unusual and powerful ways. We like the story about the spirit of God stirring inside of Samson and making him do things. We like that story. We like that story. We hear about the story of Samson when he killed the lion that came upon him. We like that story. There are many stories that we like and appreciate. But there are other stories that really offend us. We offend our values, our Christian upbringing, our modern middle-class American sensitivities. The key verse is in Judges 14. The Lord was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Listen to the verse. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave their festive garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house." Do you like that story? No. Samson made a riddle to the groomsmen, and he lost. And so he went down and he killed 30 men to get their clothing. Does that story sit right with any of us? No. How about another story about the killing of 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass? Was that really good? Is that part of a man of God? That's revenge. Look at the beginning of the story today in chapter 16, that Samson went down to Gaza, and he went and got the services of a harlot. Do you like that? That Samson went to visit a harlot, to spend the night with her? Do you like that story? Does it sound like a man that God would choose? Does it? And then for the story for today about Samson and Delilah, he said, "Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." Now, Delilah was not Samson's wife. Special friend, I guess. Delilah had enormous provocative and seductive charms over Samson. She had control of him. Samson appears really stupid in front of her as she seduces him for information. He says, but he tries to trick her. He says, "First of all, my strength is in, you can tie my hands with a bowstring and that'll keep me, and then a piece of a wool and that'll keep me." No, that's not the way it works. Finally, Samson was seduced by Delilah and he said, "My strength is in my hair." Samson fell asleep on her lap and a man came in and cut off his hair and his superhuman strength was gone. The Philistines then attacked. They heard that Samson no longer had his strength, and they blinded his two eyes, and he was put into prison to grind grain. He was pushing grain around a big mill all day long. That was his job. Well, time passes. 3,000 Philistines were gathering on the roof of the temple. The blinded Samson, with his hair now growing back, getting his strength back, is placed between the two pillars of the temple. We can see that picture in Sunday school, on the wall in one of the Sunday school rooms, with Samson tied up, holding on to the temple. Does this story please you? That Samson was in so love with this Delilah that she brazenly seduces him? Does it please you to see that his eyes were blinded? These things are very difficult. Do these stories sit well with you and your values, not with mine? It's such a difficult story. They offend us because of our Christian values. So how can we find out what's important about the story of Samson? How can it affect our lives? What role can the story of Samson, which is in the Bible, be for our walk with Christ? How can Samson strengthen our daily faith? Well, very often the New Testament just uses snippets of things in the Bible, like from Isaiah. The New Testament often attaches themselves to specific words. Jesus himself only selected two parts of the Old Testament. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. And secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. That was what Jesus expanded on, the meaning of the Ten Commandments. He also said that if you in your heart commit adultery or kill somebody or steal something, it's the same thing as doing it. He took the meaning of the tablets of stone and put them into your heart. Jesus didn't take all the laws but two of them. So what do I personally take from the story of Samson? It says the Spirit of the Lord stirred inside of Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. That is what we want. We want God's Spirit to stir inside of us, to change us, to make us different, so that we are not stale and worn out. We want God's Spirit to be alive and powerful within us, stirring us up, changing us. We need the Spirit to come into our church today. Today, Eagle Bend Community Church needs the Spirit of God to continually come into our midst, and we just can't be complacent and say everything's okay, because maybe everything is not okay. We need to do the best we possibly can to serve the Lord. And just okay doesn't cut it. The brilliant light of Jesus is what we need. The brilliant light coming to our life so that we can reflect that light out to others, illuminating us as we illuminate others. That's our role in this world, not just to stand around, but to illuminate others. Look at what it says, the Spirit of the Lord stirred in Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. This is what we need. Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. It says in Judges 16:10, that means the Lord does not leave us whenever we're not aware of it. Sometimes we're not aware that we have turned away from God. The Pharisees, for example, in the New Testament were the people that did everything right. They paid their tithes. They kept all the law, the 600 rules. They did not realize, however, that in their life they had turned away from God because they were so involved in themselves. They would give money. They would give their tithes and offerings in buckets and bring it into the temple, making sure that everybody was there to watch them. Sometimes within myself I fear that the Lord has left me, that the power of God's inner presence has disappeared. That, you know, it's so easy to mouth the words and the special spiritual phrases. Maybe the Spirit of God has evaporated in me, and I have to make sure that I keep that power, that brilliance of God, going. The reality of the matter is that God never leaves us. It is us who, like Samson, turn our back on God and blame God for leaving us. How often does that happen? How many times have you gone through tough times and you say, God, where are you? What have you done for me? But we have turned our backs on God. I would like to suggest to you that the Lord had not left Samson, but Samson had left the word of the Lord. He felt that God had deserted him, that he was not part of him. His hair was cut. He drank alcoholic wine, and he wasn't supposed to. He touched dead bodies. He wasn't supposed to do that either. He was not living a life of sexual purity like he was supposed to, because time after time in these chapters about the life of Samson, he had violated that. We can depart from God in many ways. Samson came to his senses and asked God with his power to come into his life one more time. One more time. So the Spirit of the Lord, he said, God, won't you come and help me in this moment of my life when I critically need your power and presence? We cry out, please, Lord, come into my life one more time and lift me up. Give me that brilliance. Samson, to be honest, I really kind of dreaded this sermon series on Samson. It was difficult to write. There weren't many redeeming values in his life, were there? So one more time, I read the stories about Samson and my eyes glued upon these words which mean everything. The Spirit of the Lord stirred in Samson and came upon him mightily. We need the Lord coming into us to stir us up, to mix us up, to make us full of the Holy Spirit. And at the close of his life, Samson begged, Lord, come into me one more time that I can do your will. And that should be your prayer too. Lord, come into me one more time that I can do your will. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Holy.
As we prepare to take communion, let's stand and sing together, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart.
Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, sat down with his disciples for the Passover meal. When they gathered together, he gave them the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Thank you.
tonight or this afternoon, we get to go home and watch the Super Bowl of motion pictures, so we can go home and watch the Academy Awards, right? I bet all the guys won't be as interested in this as they were in the Super Bowl. Let's stand as we're ready to leave and sing our final hymn, Soon and Very Soon. Soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. See the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I hope now I'm on. Okay. Have a great day, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.